Turn your Bibles to the book of 3 John. Right near the back of the Bible here. 3 John, then Jude and Revelation. 3 John, and I wanted to speak to mothers today, and I wanted to speak to children today, and really to everybody today. And if you would stand for the reading of the Word, we read this passage this morning already. I'm going to read the first four verses, and I'm going to preach what I believe is a simple yet very profound, powerful truth, and we'll call today's message, Discovering Your Deepest Joy. Discovering or rediscovering, planted or replanted, fertilizing, whatever you might say, discovering your deepest joy. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 1. There's only one chapter. The elder, which is John, to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. The Lord will bless this reading of His Word, and may He bless it to our hearts. May His name ever be praised. Lord Jesus, that we would see You, the fullness, the greatness, the depth of You, even in the recesses of our heart that we hide, even in those places, Lord, that we think no one can touch. We scarcely want to go there ourselves for fear and despair. Help us to find hope and joy, because You are deeper still. Stir us, Lord. In Your name we pray, amen. You might be seated. Now, we can get all spiritual and act all like, well, you know, I know what to say here. But let me give you an answer, answer me a question. What gives you the greatest joy? What gives you joy? I mean, it could change in different parts of your life. When you're a kid, maybe you're getting an A on a test. Or maybe it's getting that bicycle. Or maybe you're just coming into a certain age and it's kissing that girl. Or maybe it's marrying that person or getting that promotion. At different times in your life, and I'm not saying that's wrong, there are things that give you great joy. So right now, where you are in life, don't think there's a necessarily a wrong answer. What gives you great joy? And I'll say this, you can talk about your own life, but as you mature, you find out that things that give you the greatest joy are the joys of other people, specifically like your children. Okay? Your loved ones. You celebrate and you remember the memories, the milestones, and their own maturity. When you become grandpa or grandma and you realize you get to spoil them and they still have to go home. Woohoo! Or whatever. Or it gives you a great joy because I'm not going to do it like she did it or whatever. Then you find out you're doing it exactly like she did it. Oh no! Prophecy, anyway. The joy of your children brings you joy, right? You love it. And the joy of your family brings you joy. And I brought my mother joy by telling her how joyful I am about her and how joyful I am that my dad has come to know the Lord. And I'm sure that brings her joy. What is it that you want for your children, your family, and your friends? Of course, you want your loved ones to be safe, right? You want them to be safe, to be happy, to be successful, to be loved. Yes, of course you want that. Does anybody not want that? Of course you want that for the ones you love. I want that for you. And you want them to love you back, right? You want to feel that, to show their love for you. That brings you great joy. It's good, it's right, and it's precious. You don't always find that. And we sort of dry up the fumes on that. We forget how joyful it is. Oh, yeah, just another day, just this, just that. And we don't take the joy out of it that we could really get out of it. And we need to learn to cultivate joy. But there's something deeper than all that. Let me ask you a question. What gives God joy? What gives God joy? It's the same sort of things, really. He wants His children to find joy. But He wants them to find it in Him. Most of all, why? Because he's the source of the greatest joy. And you don't want to just make that words. We can easily spout that off. Oh, I know God is our source of our joy and all that. Now, here's the thing. Whether you're giving him joy through your life or whatever, you are if you trust in Jesus, period. But then you can please him through walking with him, yes. But I'll say this, God is already full of joy. And he's going to bring every single Christian into that fullness of joy in eternity. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy, right? But he wants you to have a measure of that fullness, a measure of that joy right now. Did you know that? God does want you to be happy, but he wants something beyond the bumps and bruises of maybe I'm a little happy, maybe I'm a little less happy. It's not that he wants you to be beaten, burdened, bare, and broke. It's that he wants you to find something that goes beyond that even when you are beaten, burdened, bare, and broke. Not something that makes you not be beaten, burdened, bare, and broke, but something that is like a shield, an armor, right? Something deeper than that. Whether you're having it or not. And I'll talk about that. I'm not trying to say, it's coming bad, so you better get good. No, 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 no. That's not what this passage is teaching. The Westminster Shorter Catechism states it this way. The chief end of man is to do what? To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Eventually, it'd be more people than just a couple back there. Glorify God and enjoy him forever. Not in forever. Forever as in starting right now. To glorify him by enjoying him. John Piper says it this way, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. Amen. It's really pretty profound. You see, it's your destiny as a Christian. Joy is your destiny as a Christian. The Christian life is being transformed into someone who worships God with their whole life by finding their joy in him. See, when you're finding your joy in him, then everything you do all is worship in that way. Not just when we sing, not just when we read, not just when we pray, not just when we preach, not just when we listen, not just when we do nice things for people and go to church, but when we're eating potato chips. Yes, everything. Why? Because of this undercurrent that we're going to talk about. So if you're going to find your greatest joy, the joy that you were created for, the joy that you are destined for, it means you need to find what gives God the greatest joy because he's the source of joy. In that way, you discover your greatest, your deepest joy. And this text tells you how. So if we look at the text, it's John here. When it says the elder, it means John. He's greeting Gaius, who was doing well spiritually. He says, "Beloved, I pray that it all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, just as it goes well with your soul." He was doing good, spiritually speaking, but he might have been having a problem, physically speaking. And John's hope in his prayer, he says, "I pray that Gaius' physical health might correspond to his spiritual health." He wasn't giving him a prescription or a guarantee. He wasn't saying, "Gaius, you really need to get with the stick here because this is why you're sick." No, friend. The Bible doesn't teach that. It does not teach that. It almost teaches the opposite, not quite. But the point is that Jesus was saying that God was already giving him, and therefore God, his greatest joy. What did he say in verse 4? "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." You could say to your mother today, "I love you, Mom." But if she's a good, if she's a Christian, a solid, grounded Christian, you know what to give her the most joy? Say, "I love you, and I love Jesus." If your mom is here, you might want to even look at her in the eye and say that. "I love you and I love Jesus." Because then, whether I'm doing great or I'm not doing so great or whatever, I've got something. Right? I've got something. You can say it to your mother-in-law. "I love you and I love..." You can say it to someone that's close to your age. "I love you and I love Jesus." It matters. It matters. Yes. Amen. He says, "Nothing brings me greater joy." So you got to learn on that side. How did he learn that? Why did John know that? And how is he able to spread that? He didn't say, "I don't care about your health. I don't care about your wealth." He goes, "I want it to go well with you. You know why I'm so happy? Because I know you got the main thing down." Oh, I already know that. Do you live that? Doesn't ignore stuff. It means you're more real than people that are just faking it. Again, John was saying that God has already given him the greatest amount of joy. He already knew the secret of joy. He's not the only one said stuff like that. In Philippians 2:2, Philippians 4:1, 1 Thessalonians, you find Paul saying it all the time. You're my joy. You're my crown. Complete my joy. Be of the same mind. When you're walking good, that helps me feel good. Right? Now, I know sometimes it goes the other way. I get that. But let's celebrate when it's going good. Amen. Paul said that many times. Oh, you're going to make me. I'm travailing in childbirth till Christ is formed in you. He said it. He said, I act like a father to you. I act like a mother to you. Paul knew his children. John knew his children, his spiritual children. And he was so happy. He said, you know what fills me with great joy? I heard you're not doing so well physically. I heard you may not be doing so good relationally. I heard people might be giving you trouble. But I also heard that you're walking with Jesus. And it showed. And those people saw it. And they brought the report to me. And woo, that brings me joy. Yeah, I want to know when things are going bad with you and pray for you and try to help you and participate in any way I can. Of course. That's the job description. But what gives me great joy is not that when you just minimize, though, and say, but with Jesus, but that I know that you are. Because then I know you're going to make it through that. That's what I pray for you. Not just that the things get alleviated. Of course I want them to. I don't want to have to deal with the problems that you have because then I have to deal with them too. I'm just like you. But what I really want is to see you steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your work is not in vain, and that he loves him, he loves you, and you love him, and you're going to make it through this thing with your joy intact. Again, he was saying in verse 2, I want you to do well physically, financially, whatever it is. I want everything to go well with you. He didn't say, he didn't leave me anything else. He just, I hope it all may go well with you. That's what I want for you. Believe me. I'm not trying to say, you better get holy because I don't want you to be happy unless you're holy. I want you to be happy. But I want you to be happily holy. Holily happy. I want this thing to be what it ought to be. That's what John was saying. He wasn't guaranteeing his physical or financial success. And John didn't say his greatest joy was his own physical or financial health. Do you notice that? He says, I have no greater joy than except when I get $1 million. I have no greater joy than when I'm in health. I have no greater joy. Why didn't he say his own spiritual health? Because he obviously already knew that. He said that his greatest joy was the spiritual health of others. Do you get that? You wonder why I whine and complain. I shouldn't do it that way, but I cry and oh moan and oh my goodness, ah, like a mother. Why? Because I want to see you do well. I don't want to see you go away. I don't want to see you hurt, but I don't want to see you hurt and then blame God and run away from God. Because it first starts with blaming me. Anyway, but you see what I'm saying? What do you want for your children? You want them to be happy. You want them to be healthy. Of course you do. But you want them to know Jesus because it's not always going to be healthy and happy no matter who you are. And it isn't about, I live so well that it'll always be holy and healthy and happy because, let's see, John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul, anybody else that's ever lived for God, right? It's not ever not going to be bumpy. But he's the one that makes your path straight. He's the one that smooths it out. Can you hear me? I've heard this all before. Are you living it right now? Maybe God is seeding this into your life because times are coming. Maybe they're not. See, the problem is not having success, it's handling success. John knew that Gaius could handle success and it wouldn't spoil him. Why? Because he had his mind screwed on right, spiritually speaking, and his heart. Again, John didn't say, Gaius, you know, the most important thing is your physical health. You know what gives me the greatest joy is when, you know, you built that church up and he's got a lot of money, and he says, what's giving him the most joy is that Gaius is walking in the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His character was being formed. They could tell that because although his situation was not all that great, his spiritual situation was that great, and it overcame the others, and it said something, and it made people testify to that. What do people see in you? Last week we talked about hope. Do they see joy? Is there something greater than the problems of life? Do you persevere through them? If you have joy, you can do it. That's what helps you be steadfast, man. Amen. If you're stepping on that scale and you're finding the weight coming off, it makes you have a little bit of joy, even though you're going, I can't stand broccoli. Well, you guys love broccoli, but I don't like it. I'm still not eating it, but anyway. Whatever it is, right? Because you have something that is guiding you through that. You see the end of the thing, and it's pulling. Keep your eyes on the prize. Yes. But the prize is not just then. It's now. It's now. Walking in the truth is joy. Is joy. Can you hear me? See, why did he think that spiritual health of others was what would give him the greatest joy? Because he already knew that joy for himself. It wasn't found in material or physical blessings. It was found by walking continually, fully walking in the truth. Not just for a little bit, and you know that, and then you're missing church for another 6 months. Walking in it. Right now. Now. Somebody say, now. It's not just to make Jesus happy. It's to make you happy. The devil is making you think that it isn't what makes you happy, and that's what spiritual warfare is. Amen. Fully walk in the truth. That's what gave John joy, and that's what will bring you joy. That's what spiritual warfare is. That you get your safety, your satisfaction, your rest in Jesus and not in other things. And the devil tries to focus you on other things, even sometimes good things. Your spiritual health is the secret of joy. Amen. Your spiritual health is the secret of joy. And since Gaius had learned that secret, now John was praying that God would fulfill every other good thing in his life. He did want him to have physical success. He said so. He said, I want everything. Again, only four verses here. Beloved, I pray. You think that the Apostle John might have had his prayers answered? Did you know that he says in 1 John 5 that if you pray anything according to the will of God, he'll hear you, and hearing you, he will answer you? You think he might have known the answered prayers? Amen. But see, when Gaius is walking in the truth, that he knows, if God grants this, I will use this as a good steward. If not, I will use that lack as a good steward. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. It's what you're finding your joy in. It's not that you, everything else, just Jesus and nothing else. I can't find joy in children. I can't find joy in a job. I can't find joy in my wife. No, you should. When those things aren't giving you that joy, there's something underneath that that gives you more joy, and at least little bits of joy, and you can take the joy out of things rather than not getting any joy in anything, unless it gets just like you want. Again, since Gaius knew the secret, John was praying that God would fulfill every other need in his life, every other good thing in his life. Yes, material, relational, physical well-being can bring you a measure of joy. And I didn't say it's wrong. Enjoy the boat. Buy the shoes. Okay? Eat the steak, just not too much of it. Eat a piece for me. Yes, it can bring you a measure of joy, but Jesus gives you something deeper. That John knew that Gaius had found a greater, a deeper joy. John wasn't saying, well, brother, you're doing good. And because people take this text and they beat it up terribly. I know you've heard it. They say, well, and they teach it like this. Well, brother, you're doing good, spiritually speaking, but I need to show you how to turn that into earthly blessing. John wasn't doing anything like that. And he never did, and you never see that in the Bible, period. It's not a New Testament thing, that's for sure. He's not saying here, I'll show you how to have physical health and well-being in all every area of your life. And I know they've taught you that, and they were wrong. They were wrong. They were wrong. It's always about the character of Jesus. It's always about love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. It's always about adding your faith, supplementing your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection with love. That's who Jesus is. That's what will help you in no matter what is going on in your life. Whether it's good, it'll be great, and you can show off Jesus. Whether it's not so good, it'll still be great, and you'll still be showing off Jesus. John said, I have no greater joy. Think about it. If your children were the president of the United States, of course that would give you joy. Well, maybe not, but you get my point. Yikes. Oh, we're going to lose our tax-exempt status, politics. Of course, this president says, no, you're not going to, so woohoo, politics. Anyway, the point is that, yes, it makes you happy when they graduate high school. It makes you glad when they graduate kindergarten, but anyway. They get through that. They do go to college. Oh, thank God. Right? They do persevere and get that degree in hopefully 4 years or five, or please just get it. They get that job. They get the children. The children are healthy and all of these things. There's nothing wrong with that. And be happy for other people that's happening, even if it's not happening for you. But there's something greater than that. I mean, you see it all throughout the Bible. Better to spend your time with the poor than hang out with the rich and not have God. I can have both. Okay, John said, I want you to have both. He said, I want you to prosper in every way. In your health, there goes a deer, by the way, by the door. Wow. As the deer panteth by the water. Well, that's the thing. There are so many things that you can find joy in. I'm not saying they're wrong, but the most important thing, think, well, I've already got it done. This is the test. When something else gets taken away, is your joy taken away? Then you know where your idol is. Yes, you should hope and pray and help other people prosper in their health, their relationships, and their finances. Yeah. But that cannot be the main aim of your teaching or the goal for your life. Yes, you hurt when others are hurting. Yes. Yes, you want them to get better. Yes. No, I want you to stay in the hospital. No. I want you to lose every job until you just give your tithe money. Whatever, man. No, no, no. But the goal for you and for them is to be more like Jesus in blessings as well as in burdens. See, this is the important thing here. I'm telling you. To reveal his character through your character, that's what you should be aiming for and what you should want for others. Gaius was prospering spiritually, so John was commending him and asking God to bless him physically. He wasn't telling Gaius that he was doing something wrong or missing something. Well, you've got the spiritual thing down, brother, but you know, you got to claim your rights as a Christian and your authority and this, that, and the other. Blah. He never talks like that ever. Ever. I know that makes the church down the street popular or whatever, but they're wrong. And if we do that, we're wrong. What's right? Being like Jesus. Not in his wealth or his this or that, in his character. Because that way, it's not just we trust Jesus and we're all these little shiny things like that. No. The way Jesus shined through is when the rest of the world says down, dark, no, and throws all the mud on you, and Jesus still shined through that. How great is that light? So we need people that are highly successful. Yes. We need people that are highly educated. Yes. And we need people that are down in the dumps. Yes. Are you willing? Jesus was. The Apostle Paul was. He goes, I'll gladly be spent and be spent again for you. He goes, am I to be loved less because I love you more? Right? And we talk about sacrifice, but we want to do it on our own terms. In one grand swoop, I give all my records and burn them, and now I'm a Christian. Whatever, man. I could go on and on. But again, he wasn't telling Gaius that, Gaius, you're missing something. Okay, you got your spiritual. Now I'm praying that you get it physically, and I'm going to tell you how to do it. If you just claim this, if you just say this, and Jesus' blood on the cross, and these 7 points, and all these crazy things, let me make it simple for you. You know what makes God happy? You, if you're in Jesus. You know what pleases him? As you are already in him, walking in him, which means developing your character to his character. You make every effort to do it as we've been studying in 2 Peter. Instead of letting anger, bitterness, contempt for other people and despair rule your heart, you let him rule your heart, and it gives you hope, and that hope gives you joy, and that joy overrides other things. It doesn't cancel them, but then people see that. They didn't come and say, Gaius is just doing so bad and all this other stuff. Obviously, they knew something was going on, but they knew something was going on. Can I say it that way? They saw something. He said, I'm so glad to hear it. And it's got to be more than just words. It's not just a mindset. It's a life. It's a life. He says walking in the truth. Not knowing the truth and reciting the catechism and doing all these things, but walking in it, not walking away from it. Not everything is cool now, but now I don't have to worry about it. I got my fill, now I can go off till I need another fill. I want my cup to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and overflowing more and more and more and more. I want to splash out on other people so they slip and fall and find up Jesus when they look up. I'm telling you, I want to be wet with the oil of the Holy Spirit in my life. If you got Jesus working in your character, in your life, you're not missing anything. You don't have. I'm not saying go to a conference, go. I'm not saying don't read the book, do it. But it takes you away from the main thing, walking in the truth. And the truth isn't some new thing, it's the same old thing. I love to tell the story for those that know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glories I sing the new song, it'll be the old story that I have known so long. I've heard it before. Don't be foolish. If you heard it before, then do it. What does the policeman tell you? You saw 70. It's been 70 for several miles, and I've been following you. But I obeyed the stop line, and I turned left on the signal. You broke the law. Don't break God's heart. Walk in His truth. You'll know that He loves you that way. He loves you anyway, but you're going to feel that and know that, and others will know that, and then you gather together, and we call it church. John knew that blessings wouldn't spoil Gaius, because he knew Gaius was walking in the truth. In other words, living according to the truth. Again, God's greatest joy is when you find your joy in Him. And it's not your physical or financial health that gives Him glory. It's your spiritual health. Amen. It gives Him glory when you do well and yet you still give Him glory? Yes. But that is always about your spiritual condition. When I strive for the upward call, the prize of God in Christ Jesus, that doesn't mean upward mobility. It means spiritual mobility, that wherever God places me, I'm still giving Him glory. What does giving Him glory mean? Revealing His character through your character. Yes. You can reveal His character by being successful. You can reveal His character by not being successful, because then you still are. Am I making any sense? I'm trying to be as plain as possible. Yes. It's not just a mindset, it's a walk. That's what gives Him glory. When you walk in God's truth, that's what reveals God to your own soul.
That's right.
And walking God's truth is what reveals God through you to others. Amen. Through you to others. Walking in His truth is what does that. If you look at verse 3, you can see how walking the truth is your testimony. Look at this. He says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth." When you walk in the truth despite your troubles, that is your witness. That is your testimony. That's what helps you to evangelize. That's what opens the door. That's when you can give a reason for the hope that lies within you. It brings joy to those who know God. Sometimes I'm in the back in the hallway or out here or something, and someone's talking to somebody else, and they're talking about some kind of praise and some kind of joy and some kind of thing. They're holding on steadfast, and they're finding, you know, it's not always God did a good thing. I enjoy that. I want God to do good stuff. Hello. Of course. Don't get the wrong idea. I don't want us to have to suffer, but God determines that. But then, when I say I'm still praying that His righteousness would prevail, I'm still holding on because I know He's good. I know that even if this doesn't pass the way that I think it should, God has not forsaken me. I am not going to stop going to church. I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop reading my Bible. I'm going to do it all the more.
Amen.
It says we should stir one another up to love and good works, even more so as the day approaches. What day is that? The day of the Lord. When is that? I don't know exactly. But it's when Jesus comes back. And when is that? One day closer than yesterday.
Amen.
So are you supposed to stir up more today? Yes. The next day? Yes. The next day? Yes. The next day? Yes. It means you got to keep being stirred up. It means you got to keep feeling that joy, which means you got to keep walking in the truth. And the truth is that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not just knowing about Him. It's knowing Him in your experience. And when you know Him in your experience, your character develops in you. What did you used to do that you don't do anymore? And I'm not talking about some sin. Attitude. It could be a sinful attitude, but you get my point. What's in you now that wasn't in you before, that was in you, but then the seeds came out, and all of a sudden you find yourself successful at it that you weren't before? John says, I've seen that in you, Gaius. Others see it in you, Gaius, and it gives me great joy. There's my boy. There he is. Look at that. Don't we beam? I mean, they do it on television commercials all the time. Which one is your kid? The one with the white. And they were all wearing white, but, you know, she was whatever. You've seen the commercial. Which kid is yours? The one that looks like Jesus. Now, I know that's not always happening. I understand that. What's the best way for you to do things? For you to do it yourself. Was everybody that John discipled going to be like Gaius? No, they weren't. Was he going to lose a measure of joy because of that? Yes. But was he going to lose his joy? No, because who was his joy? Jesus was his joy. Again, doesn't mean that all you do is Jesus. Just say Jesus, read the Bible. No. You live life with Jesus as the center of that wheel. Not first in your life, and then other things, well, they stink, but at least I got Jesus. No. Everything is revolving around Jesus. That's the engine that drives the car, man. That's the wheels on the ground. Again, to those that know this, to those that live this, this is what will give you joy from God, which is your greatest joy. It's the source of your deepest joy, a joy that can be had when you don't have those other blessings. And a joy that makes other blessings more fulfilling. Yes, it does. I can think of my best friend, and in January it'll be 40 years he's been my best friend. And I was far away from Jesus, and he hated Jesus. Many years. Some of you know him. And then, you know, he's married, I'm married, we've got careers, we've got things, he's a very busy man, but he became a Christian. And I came back to Christ, if I could say it that way. And then all of a sudden, we have less time to spend with each other, but the time is richer and fuller. And we want to talk about something. He'll call me up. I got this. I'm applying for this. The governor's reviewing me for this. This, that. And let's pray. I want God's will. If he wants me to have it, I want it. If he doesn't want me to have it, I don't want it. And he's not just saying words. You see it in his life, and you see it in my life, and you see us growing together even more as that. The greatest joy in your life is Jesus. He's the well. When you see others drinking at that well, how joyous is that? Because then they found the true living water. The more truth that you walk in, the more you give glory to God, and the more you discover your deepest joy. Let me say it again. The more truth you walk in, the more joy you'll have. The more truth you walk in, the more joy you'll have, period. Now, here comes the problem. Who's going to come in and tell you something different? Well, your own self and your own, what? But who are you listening to then? It's the devil's mission to destroy your joy by getting you to disbelieve, distrust, and disobey God, and to get you to seek your satisfaction, your security, and your significance outside of God's revealed will. To get you to focus on something other than being like Jesus. God's plan of defense is to know the truth, to believe the truth, to stand on the truth, to obey the truth. That is what resisting the devil is all about and what spiritual warfare is all about. The devil tries to get you to disbelieve, disobey, and distrust God. What God wants you to do is stand on his truth and believe him. And that's what brings you joy despite the circumstances. God will allow the devil sometimes to bring circumstances into your life, or you'll just bring them into your own life anyway. And then it's like, do you trust God or do you not? I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are, what gender you have. If you have children, you don't have children. If things are going well, things aren't going well. This is the truth. Walking in the truth is what brings you joy. Walking in the truth is what brings you joy. Even when something comes to attack your joy, it can't steal your joy because you're going to keep walking in it, baby. That's called steadfastness. Steadfastness. Yes, things can be bad, but Jesus is more good than that. Some things might not make you happy. Some things might make you happy, very happy. But they don't really plant or maintain joy in your life. That's what God says. But the devil tries to convince you that God isn't telling you the truth. That's his job. To confuse you about the truth. Remember what he said to Eve? Hath God actually said? Remember what he said to Jesus? It is written. Right? People do that all the time. Well, hope is an anchor for the soul. Yes, but hope deferred makes the heart sick. Well, you're hoping in the wrong thing. I am telling. However, God's word is abundantly clear on the essentials. Jesus, the Son of God, sinless, almighty, lived a sinless life, died an atoning death, rose again from the grave, coming back for you, going to lead you into his full glory. Those that have that hope in themselves, purify themselves as he is pure. Not imperative, you better do this or you're not going to heaven. Indicative, you do this because you are going to heaven.
Amen.
The more you understand that, the more you believe that, the more you walk in that, the more joyful and hopeful and fruitful you will be. Very simple truth, but it's profound, but we need to do it. You know, Vince Lombardi, the Packers weren't doing so good, and one season he started off by saying, "This is a football." I can say, "This is your Bible. This is one verse. This is the apostle of love." The apostle John says, "I have no greater joy than to see that my children," and to hear, he said, "that my children are walking in the truth." And we prayed for the children, and I'll continue to pray for them, and I hope you do too, and for other people's children and all that, and for God's children. The fact is God knows who's coming, God knows who's not, but it's so wonderful. The Bible says that all heaven rejoices, the angels rejoice, when one sinner turns to repent. So even they might know, they might not know when it's going to happen, but when they see it happen, they're rejoicing. When I see you get that job, I rejoice. When I see you marry that girl, I rejoice. When I see you have those children, I rejoice. When those children come back, I rejoice. But when I see you walking in the truth, that's what gives me my greatest joy. Because I know when those other things may not be happening, and they might be happening to other people, instead of getting jealous, instead of getting contemptible or bitter or angry, you're able to celebrate with them.
Yes.
And other people can cry with those who are crying. You know, weep with those who are weeping, laugh with those who are laughing, and it be real, not just something, well, I don't know. He wants you to really experience him in his life. Again, you know the truth, but do you live that way? The truth will set you free. Free to find joy. Free to walk in joy, and free to reveal joy. The joy of your soul is Jesus, and you can radiate the joy of Jesus when other things aren't going so well. We sing, "It is well with my soul," right? The joy of Jesus is meant to be a well in your soul.
Yes.
A well that never runs dry. A well that runs deeper than life.
Yes.
No matter how far down in life you sink, you can still find joy. Jesus is deeper than your deepest troubles. You see, those are words for many people. Oh, that's a cute phrase. I'll remember that. I'll write that down. Jesus is deeper than your deepest joy, than your deepest trouble. Why isn't it real to you? Because you're not walking in it all the time. You don't just get to walk in at that moment and pull out the fighter verse like an amulet, magical Jesus, pocket Jesus. Ta-da! Jesus is deep. Now, do that if you're in trouble. I get it. You've got to walk this thing out over time. Then you learn. But remember this. You see that one little drop of rain? And you see all kinds of clouds, it's about to rain. It's about to rain. You don't have to find everything, just find one little thing to hold on to in Jesus. Then he gets bigger, and he gets bigger, and he gets bigger. And as you walk in him, you're walking towards him, and he gets bigger, 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 and the other stuff gets smaller, smaller, smaller. Doesn't mean they're not there, doesn't mean you can't flick them away, or you got to shake it off your leg, but now it's not devouring your whole body, it's just messing with you a little bit. Why? Because you're larger than life. The well of Jesus Christ is deeper than your deepest troubles. Pastor, I haven't always seen that in you. I know. Pray for me too. I don't walk perfectly. I walk purposefully.
Yes.
When I get off in my walk, people can point out and say, "Hey, just look, this, I can just see it on your face." I'm like, oh, first I probably get mad at them. Like, how can you tell? Because people can tell. People can tell. You don't have to, I'm not, this isn't gossip. There's no need for gossip when you can see it on the person's face. Right? Has that been any of us? Yeah. Jesus is deeper than your deepest troubles. There's no question about it. You see, Jesus knew the trouble he was going to have to go through when he went to the cross. But it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What was his joy? To please the Father by saving your soul? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? But deeper than that was the love of the Father for His Son, who knew from all eternity this was going to happen. And as Jesus rises up from that place, and you see, that's not the end of Psalm 22 that he was quoting there, Matthew 27, 46, I believe it is. You read that whole psalm and you see victory at the end.
Yes.
Jesus identifies with you in your pain. Will you identify with Him in His victory? You see, I'm not concerned as much with how the score goes in the game. I'm concerned with the fourth quarter or the ninth inning when it's 0.00 and who's ahead right then. I'm not saying wait till the last minute and then get it right. I'm saying that if it hasn't gone all the way, Jesus can make up for it just like that.
Right.
Anybody hearing me?
Yes.
Let me finish up. You can know the truth in your head. You can talk the truth with your mouth, but still not walk the truth in your life. John was full of joy when people were living for Christ. They're winning people to Christ and edifying their brothers and sisters in Christ. Even when certain blessings weren't there. Let me ask you, how well are you walking in the truth when certain blessings aren't there? You can say, oh, thank you, Jesus, when things are going great. And you don't say, thank you, Jesus, that you hit me with cancer. I'm not saying that. Thank you, Jesus, that you're Jesus, and even though I have this, and I might even die from this, and I don't want to leave other people alone because of this, I still trust you.
Amen.
And if that means I have to die, it means I go to you.
Amen.
I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. Believe me, I do pray for you to be blessed. I'm starting a new job. Believe me, I'm praying for you. I need help in my business. Believe me, I'm praying for you. Our relationship needs work. Believe me, I'm praying for you, and probably more than that. I want you to be blessed in your health, your relationships, and your finances, with your children, with your parents, with everybody. I want you to find a measure of joy and success. So we can buy the property next door and put another building on it, but I didn't say that out loud. There's your hint for the next members' meeting, but anyway. But I want you to discover a deeper joy than that. An immeasurable joy. A joy that you can have even when the other joys aren't available for you. A joy that makes other blessings more fulfilling. And a joy that is beyond expression and full of glory. And remember what glory is. It is a revelation. Glory is all that God is. So when He says joy unspeakable and full of glory, it means even though you haven't seen Him, His character is revealed to you. His power is revealed to you. His love for you is revealed to you. And it's glorious. And you can't even express it. It's beyond expressing. I've just got something, and woo, you got to have it. You can say that all day, but when people see it in you, they want it. Why don't you prepare yourself to knock on somebody's door? Just by preparing your own heart, let God knock on that door. Come in there, and believe me, there'll be. If you have happy holiness and happy boldness, there will be all kind of people asking you what it is. Believe me, in this world, in this place, at this time, come on. Somebody, get with me.
Yes.
You know, we don't want to bring people in this church because this is the church where, you know, everybody's upwardly mobile. This is the church where, you know, they allow you to shoot guns or I don't know. This is the church, we've heard all kinds of crazy stuff. This is the church where, you know, we could beat up the pastor because he's little, so if he makes us mad, you know, whatever. I don't know, I'm making stuff up. You can't beat me up, I'm tough. But anyway. The point is, what do we want? We're to bring new people that don't even know Jesus or people that have known Jesus in with what? With our love. But it's love for what? Love for Jesus, which leads to love for one another, which gives us this hope and this joy. And then when bad things start to happen, we don't say, oh, you're just not acting right, brother. Oh, if you just turn in $119.79 because of Psalm 119. Blah. Read this book. Do this. No. Hold on. Trust Jesus. How can we help you? Let's pray. Because then, even if things aren't going so good, you still are acting like Jesus through it. That's what you need. Isn't that what it is? Because everybody goes through darkness. What happens is, when people are in the darkness, who do they look to? The one with the light. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? This is what will bring me great joy, is your joy in walking in Jesus. And it's what brings God the most joy. For you to have your deepest joy in Him. I love you. And I love Jesus. Walk in the truth that Jesus is your joy. And he can become a greater joy to you and a deeper joy to you. If this was the last message I ever gave, I'd be satisfied with it. Because the fact of the matter is, that's the bottom line. Walk in the truth that Jesus is your joy. That way, when the devil or God allows the devil or you did something stupid and that thing that caused you some joy gets taken away, it doesn't steal your joy. It only like, you know, a blast of cold air and the temperature goes down for a little bit, but then the temperature goes right back up because you're on fire for Jesus. So what do we need to do? What do you need to do about this? You need to confess that other things have taken its place. Let me say it this way. Confess, repent, ask, and expect. Confess that other things have taken your place. Repent and turn to him, asking him to be your joy, and then expect it to happen. Yes. Expect that you'll be tested on it. Don't be in fear of that. No. Be in faith about that.
Yes.
Say, you know what? 6 years ago, 6 months ago, 6 days ago, this would have upset me so bad that I'd be down for months. But now, it affected me, but it affected me towards Jesus and finding he's my real joy, and that smothered out all the rest of the stuff. Amen. Father, I pray for myself and us and for all the children represented here, for all those that are coming, for those that are coming back, for those we have yet to meet, for those that are moving on and passing on, that you would bring them a measure of joy that is so far beyond what they could imagine and express, that they would have no doubt that you are moving in their life. And by moving in their life, they would have trust in you, they would treasure you, and hold on to you no matter the troubles of life. Not that we want troubles, Lord. Jesus, you told us in this world you will have trouble, but fear not. I have overcome the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Father, I thank you for the faith that you've given us. Help us to make every effort, Lord, to know that we got to keep at this thing, to walk in it and find and discover a well of joy that knows no depths. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray.